To Be of Use by Ariset, read by Isweden. Chapter 13, Happiness. When Lanyuan returned from classes, his father was waiting for him with a mysterious bundle. Ayuan's usual running tackle into his father's legs was brought up short as he boggled at it.
"What is it?"
"Come," Lanjian said. "Leave your slate." The child did as ordered, dropping off his school supplies and coming back to stand beside his father and peer at the bundle. Lanjian obligingly folded back a piece of the cloth covering.
"Leaves?" Ayuan said skeptically.
"Come." He went through the back door and the boy scrambled after him, tamping down his questions with an effort Lanjian could feel. He smiled, ever so little, and made sure to slow his stride enough so his son could keep up without running. "Have you been to the back hill before, Ayuan?"
No, Hangguanjun."
He looked embarrassed at his slip, and Lanjian let his hand brush over his small shoulder. "We are alone, Ayuan. It is no issue if you call me father." Ayuan smiled at that, and his hand shyly crept out to hold the edge of Lanjian's sleeve. Lanjian should have corrected his deportment, but couldn't bring himself to. They walked in peaceful silence, the only change being when they came to the hillside where the rough stone steps were a little hard for someone as small as Ayuan to traverse. At that point, Lanjian picked him up and slung him on his hip in an easy carry.
"Where are we going, father?" Ayuan whispered.
Lanjian squeezed him gently to let him know he hadn't overstepped. "Just a minute more, Ayuan." They came to the clearing he was aiming for, and Lanjian set him down in the center. The child blinked around him, looking for anything interesting.
"What is it?"
"Here, let us set out the refreshments for them," Lanjian said.
"Them?"
Ayuan said, and then gasped. Lanjian had known the rabbits were still there. He had gone while Ayuan was at class, to be sure this small trip wouldn't be for nothing. He watched his son rather than the animals, finding himself smiling at the look of shocked delight on the boy's face. "The rabbits live here. They find these kinds of greens to be a treat."
"Greens! Oh!"
Ayuan dove for the bundle, then froze as rabbits scattered at the movement.
"I scared them?"
"They are prey animals," Lanjian told him. "We have to treat them gently and kindly. All their instincts are there to keep them alive, and it is easy to set them off, even if you mean them no harm."
"I'll be good," he said, in his best attempt at a whisper, and moved with exaggerated slowness to unwrap the bundle of greens more fully.
The rabbits slowly regained their courage and began to approach again. Lanjian still found it strangely gratifying when they approached him and nudged around his robes with no apparent fear. "Hold out a leaf, Ayuan. See if one of them wants it." Ayuan did as instructed, carefully pulling out the biggest and juiciest-looking leaf. He held it out, almost trembling in eagerness, and Lanjian gently pulled him into his lap. It took a moment, but a rabbit, a little black-and-white friend with bi-colored ears, came over and began nibbling on the leaf with single-minded focus.
"Papa! Papa! It likes it!" Lan Chan hummed and carefully took up a handful of greens to lay out on the grass beside them. It does. You are doing well to be still and quiet and not frighten them. Ai Yuan craned his neck to look at his father.
Do you think I could pet him, father?
His eyes were all but glowing. Let us see. He lifted the child out of his lap, slowly enough to not send the rabbit scattering, and set him on the ground near the scattered greens. Let them come close to enjoy their refreshments, and then we'll see if they will let you gently pet them. Ai Yuan was so breathless, Lan Chan was almost concerned. But when the rabbit let him pet it, he smiled so incandescently bright that Lan Chan lost his own breath for a moment. Wanting to see that look stay, he lifted a small rabbit, one that had tucked itself against his leg and seemed content to sit, and placed it on his son's lap.
It's not heavy, father, he said in interest. Oh, it has claws.
Does it hurt you? Lan Chan said in concern. Ai Yuan shook his head, still beaming, and Lan Chan lifted another rabbit and set it down to join its friend.
Oh,
Ai Yuan said. He stuck his arm straight up as if he didn't know what to do with his hands.
I want to hold them all.
Lan Chan said, and lifted the biggest rabbit within reach to set on Ai Yuan's lap. He laughed, a bubbly, delighted sound. Lan Chan added another rabbit.
Father, my lap is too small. I am only about 5 rabbit size.
Lan Chan said, and added a 4th rabbit. It was an active thing, and it stood up in Ai Yuan's lap to investigate his face with its twitchy nose and whiskers.
Oh, if it touches my ribbon, is that bad?
Only if it nibbles on it, Lan Chan said, and added a 5th rabbit. Ai Yuan tipped over backwards, chuckling, and his head came to rest on Lan Chan's knee. I can still see Ai Yuan, he pointed out seriously, and added another rabbit. Lan Yuan was giggling uncontrollably now, and Lan Chan, proud, added another rabbit. 2 more, and Ai Yuan was completely buried except for his face. Then a rabbit hopped into Lan Chan's lap and flopped over. Its ear fell across Ai Yuan's eyes, and he laughed even bigger belly laughs until a few of the rabbits tired of the shaking and crawled off him. Father! Ai Yuan is about 8 rabbit size, he concluded. Shall we finish feeding them? It took a minute for Ai Yuan's chuckles to die down enough for him to help, but between the two of them, they cleared out the bundle of greens down to their last shred. Ai Yuan flopped across Lan Chan's lap, belly down, as limp as a happy bunny. Father, I am glad you are out of seclusion. I am too, Lan Chan said. After a moment, they sat in silence while the sun started creeping towards the tree line and the light shifted, faintly pinkish. Lan Chan had been turning a thought over and over in his head as Ai Yuan hummed something to himself, playing with his father's fingers, and the thought slipped out before he could shape it. Ai Yuan, are you happy here? Ai Yuan rolled over in his lap to lay on his back and look up at him.
With the bunnies?
No, here, in cloud recesses.
He had raised his hand so the child could turn, and now he offered it to him again. Lan Yun took the hand with both of his, comparing their size.
There are many rules. You have to work hard, and I am not always fun.
Certainly not as Wei Yung had been fun. He could not play with the child as freely as his brother, Shen did.
Are you happy anyway?
Father is fun, Ai Yun protested, hugging the hand to his cheek. And even if he's not, it doesn't matter. If you are fun, or if you are not fun, I will still love you.
Lan Zhan's fingers curled against Ai Yun's cheek without his telling them to.
I am not too silent for you. I will love father if he talks, or if he doesn't talk, Ai Yun said loyally, struggling upright and patted Lan Zhan's hand. I will learn to talk well, so I can help.
Lan Zhan smiled down at him helplessly. And the rules? And the work?
The rules aren't so hard. I can do it. And the work is interesting. I like to help.
All that led to an obvious conclusion. Still, Lan Zhan found himself saying, You are happy then? He wanted to wince away from the hair-fine waver in his voice.
Yes! Ai Yun hugged him. Is father happy?
He wanted to say, Yes, for Ai Yun, but lying is forbidden in the cloud recesses. Ai Yun makes me happy, he said eventually, and was glad that it was nothing less than the truth.
Chapter 14 Home. Lan Chan's first night hunt after seclusion was barely deserving of the name. Which was the point, of course. There was no point in throwing himself headfirst into a deadly fight before he had gotten his bearings back. And most large problems of that sort would be under the purview of whatever sect controlled that territory. Lan Chan did not intend to only keep to Gusu for his hunts, which meant that he would mostly be taking on smaller hunts in remote locations. The sort of things that the likes of Lan Ling Jing had no interest in wasting their time on. This hunt was for a resentful beast. One of the spirits Lan Chan summoned with his inquiry had died to it less than a week ago, in a remote bit of woods off a trade route little used at this time of year. The spirit had gone to rest easily when Lan Chan promised to deal with the creature, although, of course, if he could find their body, he would bury it with all due respect. He flew by sword, and was glad to see that the skill seemed to have not faded in his time away. The wards on his robes held so that the wind did not chill him, and the small charms that kept it from tearing at his hair and eyes were good practice as well. The spirit had been very precise in the location of its passing. A kind of woodsman, used to the territory. He found it easily, and it was the work of a few hours to track down the beast. It had been a boar once, a small one, fortunately, and it stank of resentful energy from a half mile away. When it saw him, it charged, too stupid to be afraid, and he stepped out of its path and ran it through with Bichen. It still writhed and squealed even when pinned, but a talisman purged it, and left a tangle of stinking but harmless fur and flesh in the leaf litter. It almost could have been a day trip, but he hesitated to fly home if it would be full dark well before he reached the cloud recesses. He instead made an attempt to find the body of the spirit who had alerted him before setting up camp for the night. He arose as early as ever and took an hour to meditate before starting the flight back home. So it was that for his first hunt, he was back by noon of the second day. The watchman at the gate was polite, if standoffish, a peripheral disciple with level, evaluative eyes. And, once admitted, he made straight for his brother's office. Siuchun was in, fortunately, and rose to greet his brother with an unnecessary bow and a smile. "Wanxi, it went simply, I assume?" Lanchan nodded, saluting. Just as the spirit said. It is done. "As would be expected of Han Guangjun," Siuchun said, and sat down. He looked worn, which concerned Lanchan, until he saw that the scroll in front of him had the emblem of Nie sect. Siuchun would take more than 2 years to recover from the loss of his older sworn brother, and Lanchan silently vowed that he would be with him until he did. Even if the younger never fully recovered from his own losses. "Lan Yuan?" he asked. Siuchun beamed up at him. "I may steal him from you, Wanxi. He is delightful company, and his little friend as well. I feel I myself have gained a better understanding of anything I was called upon to explain to them." "They shouldn't bother the sect leader," Lan Zhan said, wincing internally. "I am sorry they took up much of your time." "I'm not," Siuchun said. "I wasn't joking. Any time you want to share them, feel free." Lan Zhan would have liked to have slumped. "Things will be different now that I have left seclusion." His brother looked at him inquiringly, resting his chin in his hand. Lan Zhan folded his hands in his lap as he sorted his words. "I enjoy Ayuan's company. I also enjoy Lan Nia. I don't know how I could handle having Ayuan and Nia in the house every day after classes." Siuchun hid a smile in his teacup. "Won't Lam Mia be with his relative or with the other children most days?" Lan Chan sighed. "Yes, in theory."
"I have every confidence in Wanxi's ability to reconcile theory with practice," Siuchun said serenely. And while Lan Zhan was still trying to digest if that was meant to be teasing, Zhu Jun bowed his head in polite dismissal. "I presume you will be hungry, Wanxi. You will have flown hard. Lan Yuan will be coming here after classes. I will forward him to the Qingshi to see you." He diverted by the kitchens to pick up something for lunch. On the way, he met two elders, who were stiff and frosty, and three servants who were friendly, if a bit overawed. No matter, he could only live his life in accordance with his conscience, and if the elders did not like it, it would not matter so long as they didn't take it out on Lan Yun. He ate at the Jingshi after laying all his equipment to rest, and had enough time to meditate before he was startled out of it by a joyful shout. It was Ailin, coming up the path to the Jingshi, and he burst through the door with a squeal of, "Father!" before diving for his lap to embrace him. Lan Zhan accepted the hug, and was startled to find that even though he had arrived in the cloud recesses hours ago, he only now felt like he was home. "Ailin, you are well." "Yes, you are back so quick. You said it could be 3 or 4 days.
"A conservative estimate," he said, gently urging the boy off his lap so he could stand.
"Tell me, please. I want to know how it happened."
But first, he straightened, tucked his arm behind his back, and looked at the child levelly. I heard you shouting on the path to the house. What is the rule? Ayun didn't wilt, but he did look shifty. No shouting, no running. He herded him over to the wall, and after a moment of weighing the options, he had the boy stand with arms held out straight in front. You know why you are being punished, then, he confirmed.
Yes, father, Ayuan said.
Sudden shouting is disruptive. If a disciple were working on a difficult piece or spell, the surprise could cause them to make a mistake. That could have dangerous effects. Or a student on the balance beams. You have seen the balance beams? Lan Yuan nodded. If they were surprised, they could fall and be hurt.
I understand, Ayuan said. He shifted. But if they were in a battle, there would be a lot of noise, right?
Lan Zhan nodded. It was a point he had also wondered at the child's age, and he gave the same answer his uncle had given him then. You must master the fundamentals first. Then you can learn to apply them in all circumstances. If you try to learn a piece in the midst of chaos, you will not learn it well. But after you have mastered it, you will find it possible to play it no matter the circumstances. He almost smiled. When you first learn the balance beams, you will do it carefully, with supervision, with full focus. When you have mastered that, your classmates will throw things at you. Ayuan gasped, his arms dropping, until Lan Chan corrected him with a glance.
They will throw things at me?
The child still looked shocked, and Lan Chan patted his head. Nothing damaging. And you will throw things at them, too.
We don't all have good aim, Ayuan commented, mostly to himself.
His arms were starting to tremble with the strain of holding them up, and Lan Zhan allowed him to drop them. He shook them out and smiled at his father.
Can you tell me now?
It's not much of a story, Lan Zhan said, sitting down and opening his arms.
But of course.
Chapter 15. Instruction. If one did not care how small or unimportant the problem was, there were a great many problems that could be solved by a cultivator within a day's flight of cloud recesses. Lan Zhan deliberately took on a few night hunts further away, so Lan Yun would not grow to expect his father to be home in only a day or two. But even then, the longest he was ever away was a week, and that not even for the hunt, but rather aiding a small village to clean up the aftermath of the enemy's rampage. After each, he would return to Cloud Recesses for a few days before departing again. Today he was preparing to depart the next morning, Ayuan at the table busily scratching away with chalk and slate to practice the strokes for some basic talismans, when there was a knock at the door.
I will get it, father,
Lan Yuan said eagerly, trotting across the floor and opening the door with a bow.
Please, enter.
The person entered, only barely enough to count as being in, and bowed deeply to Lan Zhan. It was one of the junior disciples. There were only six such currently in Cloud Recesses, and he knew her.
Lan Yining, he said, and returned her bow. She was easily recognizable, a girl of about 14 with short hair and a missing right arm. Is something amiss?
No, Hangguanjun, or, well, nothing serious,
She nodded at Ah Yuan also, who saluted her solemnly. Her eyes crinkled like she thought he was cute, but she accepted his salute with all due ceremony. Lan Zhan approved. I came with a request from Zhou Jun. The teacher of the youngest initiates' class has fallen ill and won't be able to manage classes tomorrow, so Zhou Jun suggested that Hang Wan Jun assist.
It is an honor to serve, he said automatically. He folded his hands behind his back. Is there a curriculum available for me to follow, or will I need to make a lesson?
There is a curriculum, she flushed, straightened to perfect posture. He did not know her background, but given the slightness of her form and her pale brown skin, she was likely either adopted in or the child of adoptees. I will be taking care of the calligraphy class and recitation of rules, and I can escort them to their midday meal as well. Hang Guan Jun would take the lessons after lunch, meditation and sword farms. They are just beginning the latter, so teacher thinks it is particularly important to not miss a single class.
Understandable, he nodded. I will check with Ai Yuan to clarify where they are in their lessons and proceed accordingly. He saluted her. It has been years since I taught an initiate class. I will rely on disciple Yining's advice.
Her eyes widened comically, and she saluted a little more deeply than was proper. Her salute was irregular due to the limitations of her missing arm, and at the flush rising around her neck, he found himself hoping she did not feel ashamed in any way that she couldn't easily salute with her sword, strapped as it was to her belt rather than carried, as most cultivators favored.
This disciple could only hope to learn from Hang Guan Jun. Please, again, forgive my interruption, and do not hesitate to ask if I can assist you in any way.
He nodded, and Ai Yuan led her out before spinning around and bouncing on his toes.
Hang Guan Jun! Hang Guan Jun! You will teach my class?
I will do my best, he said.
Father is the best teacher, he said loyally.
Teacher is good as well, but Father always explains things so carefully that they make perfect sense.
Thank you, he said, and sat down at the table. Now, let us make certain I understand where you are in your lessons.
Lan Zhan was waiting in the children's classroom when they filed in from their midday meal. There was a low buzz of talk that died off when they entered the room and saw him. He was meditating and kept his eyes closed for long enough for them all to enter before rising smoothly and looking them over.
Students, greet Hang Guan Jun, Lan Yining said, and all seven little figures bobbed polite bows, very unsynchronized, with a wave of Hang Guan Jun accompanying the bows.
He will be supervising the sword forms in meditation today.
It is my honor to instruct you, he said seriously. He swept an arm towards the basket in the corner of the classroom. No bell of sleeve to accompany the gesture, since he had forgone the overcoat today. The same swirl of fabric that could confuse an enemy's eyes could do the same to a student who did not need to be confused. Please take up your practice weapons, and we will adjourn to the courtyard. They didn't scramble, at least well enough controlled for that, but they did crowd around the basket with some back-and-forth mutters. He was surprised to find that he remembered this from his own childhood. The practice weapons were little more than short lengths of bamboo with leather wrappings for hilts, but he and his classmates had all had their preferred sword anyway. He gave them a moment before stepping down from the low instructor's platform and making for the door, and suppressed his amusement at the susurration of voices briefly raised in alarm before they grabbed the rods and hurried to file out behind him. The courtyard was prepared for practice, the white sand of the circular depression raked smooth. He positioned himself at the side and let the children take up their own places as they pleased. They clumped up together in the middle, kneeling. They looked like dumplings in a steamer basket. Lan Yuan and Lan Mia were making sincere attempts to not puff up with possessive pride. "I will demonstrate the forms. Then we will go through them together. Watch carefully." He unsheathed Bichen to an interested murmur from the children, and went through the forms that Ayuan had told him they were doing. Just 5 forms for now. They would be on those 5 for some little while. He worked with his scabbard down, since they were currently only working on blade forms, and moved through each set slowly and gracefully, exaggerating his movements just a little to try and make it clear. Afterwards, he resheathed the blade and stood in front of them with his arm tucked up behind him. "Who wishes to be first to demonstrate?" They looked among themselves, no one leaping forward to volunteer. "Age order?" Lan Yining suggested quietly, and he nodded at her in approval. Disciple Yuning first, then. She gawked at him for just a moment, then bobbed a bow and drew her blade. She did the same forms, very neat and precise, though her footwork could use some work. What remained of her right arm was tucked to her side, the burned scars winding up from the stump white against her skin. He wondered if she had originally been right-handed. She finished, and sheathed her blade with a neat click. Well done. He eyed the initiates consideringly. Next.
Wang Jin,
Yining called, and a small dark boy with sharp eyes came forward. He moved very slowly, clearly thinking through every movement. But there were no major mistakes, and Lan Zhan nodded at him to step back. The other 6 followed in turn. Lan Xia was hasty and mixed up her directions 2, and Lan Chang's form was terrible, but they all clearly had the basics down. When they all had taken a turn, he had them space themselves out around the circle, facing outwards.
Hongguanjun, aren't we going in rows?
Lan Mia asked, then bobbled and almost dropped his practice rod. Facing outwards, you will not be looking at your classmates, Lan Zhan replied. You are still learning the basics. Competing with your fellows will only impede your learning. Your only competition is your own body. It was a direct quote from one of the instruction manuals, but the little ones all nodded as though it was some kind of sage wisdom he'd thought up on the spot. Yining was standing modestly to the side, and he beckoned her over and positioned her in front of Wang Jun. "Disciple Yining, you are uniquely qualified to assist your junior brothers and sisters. Your left-handed forms will mirror their right-handed forms, and allow them to follow your lead." The girl looked startled and glanced down at her stump compulsively. He gently moved her into position and then drew Bichen with his off hand, once more setting down the scabbard. He took up a position in front of Ayuan, who looked at him curiously.
"Left hand?" the child commented.
Disciples of Gusulan are expected to be ambidextrous. 3 little necks craned to blink at him, and he rephrased. "To use both hands equally well for important tasks."
"When will I learn?" Lan Mia asked in great interest, trading his bamboo rod to his left hand and giving a few experimental jabs.
"After you have mastered the basics." Han Guangjun said repressively, and straightened to his full height. Are you ready?
Yes, Han Guangjun,
they all chorused. Chapter 16. Ant. Today's night hunt was a haunting, a day's flight from cloud recesses. The grateful merchant whose property had been affected had tried to compensate him with a payment far too generous, and when Lan Chan refused to take so much, the merchant had insisted, in strongest possible terms, that he at least be able to pay for Lan Chan's dinner and room for the night. He had accepted, rather than offend the man, and only regretted it when the inn's dining room was filled to the brim with people after dark, at least half of them sneaking occasional glances that might have been subtle to someone less observant than Lan Chan. There were wards that could be added to the robe spells that could make the attention of others slide gently off the wearer. It was not something that had ever been appropriate for the second young master to wear, but Lan Chan seriously considered procuring a set. The night was not a complete loss, however. He heard one group speaking of wandering corpses not a half-day's travel northeast, and Lan Chan resolved to look into the matter. If he passed his evaluations, Lan Yuan would move into the initiate dormitories in less than a year, when he received his courtesy name, and his father would then take on longer hunts. Lan Chan hoped to gradually increase the length of his outings, rather than force the boy to adjust to long absences all at once. In the morning, he mounted his sword and flew northeast until the noise of the town was completely gone behind him. Still hovering a body's length above the forest floor, he summoned his jin from the Jian Kun enchantment on his sleeves, and held it aloft in front of him with his spiritual energy. Unnecessary, but good practice. Concentrating on the type of creature he was expecting to find, he played inquiry until he found a spirit who had the information he needed to point him in the right direction. Returning his instrument, he closed his eyes for a moment to be sure of the path, and took off after the disturbance. He was not quite at the indicated position when the sound of a chin faintly broke the silence. He almost stopped short in surprise, but adjusted his course slightly. Not a minute later, he broke through to a clearing where a figure in white and blue was seated on the ground with a chin on their lap. They looked up smoothly and rose to their feet with the chin cradled in their arms. Han Guangjun. He dismounted and sheathed his sword to salute her with it. Senior sister. She made a sound of a repressed snort and returned her chin to a protective sleeve and slung it across her back to return his bow. She was tall and strong-featured, about 10 or 15 years his senior, and moved with the strength and elegance required of land cultivators. Our boys are friends, Han Guangjun. Such formal distance seems pointless. Please, call me Lan Yatiao, or at least Lan Mia's aunt. I am informed they are blood brothers, he replied gravely. I should be Lan Wanqi, or Lan Yuan's father, then. I should not be too casual with the second young master, she demurred, but nodded. Are you here due to the problem of the wandering corpses? The trace was faint. Have you encountered them? She frowned. Only one. By all accounts, there are 10 or 12. They seem to be wandering much at random. It will be tedious indeed to locate them all. He lidded his eyes to feel for the faint sense energy again. Do you have any lore flags?
Lestigian lore flags. No, I don't think the range would be sufficient, though.
If done properly, they can draw from quite far away, he corrected politely, and withdrew one from his sleeve. He took it to the center of the clearing and looked around appraisingly. We can supplement its effects with talismans. There is a variation of the symbology that will fit on a talisman slip.
I'm afraid I would not be much assistance with that task, second young master, she said.
When he blinked at her, her face was faintly wry.
We do not all have cores so powerful we stop aging at 22. My talismans are minimally effective at best. Before everything happened, my main responsibility was in caring for the gardens. He said, mildly embarrassed at his assumption, and withdrew a handful of talisman slips. He drew them out with blood, opening his fingertips on Beechin's blade, and as he completed each one, Yao Chao took it and plastered it to a tree trunk at the edge of the clearing. When they were all posted, the two cultivators sat down in the center of the clearing, facing opposite directions, with the lore flag between them. They settled into light meditation for a while, until Yao Chao broke the silence with a tactful clearing of her throat.
Ailin's father, she said. Mia's aunt, he returned, obscurely pleased.
I owe you thanks and apologies both. My sister's nephew came into my care years after I had decided that I had no interest in forming a family, and I fear that I am competent at best in caring for him. His fondness for Ayuan and Ayuan's father is clear to anyone who knows him, and I am grateful and ashamed that he learns more from you than he ever has from me.
Lan Zhan calmed his heart, which wanted to race as though a battle had just started. Gratitude is never wasted, but I cannot, in good conscience, accept your apology. He shook his head lightly and urged himself to continue. You are a just guardian to Lan Mia, and clearly work hard to balance your responsibilities to him and the sect. I feel fortunate to have been in a position to assist in his education in any small way.
She laughed faintly. He is not a bad child, but he is very high-spirited. Ayuan's father might be understating the challenges.
Even so, only a fool rejects help given in good faith. I will continue to perform my duties to the best of my ability, in gratitude for the second young master's generous dedication. Lan Mia is curious and straightforward. He is good-hearted, and a good friend to Lan Yuan. If I can aid you and he in any way, it is an honor.
Lan Yuan is polite and clever, she said in return. There was some fondness caught up in the creases at the corners of her eyes. He is kind-natured and a good friend to Lan Yia. Although Han Guanjun does not appear to need assistance, it is his if he ever desires it.
He said in acknowledgement. Then, the first, you or I? They both rose to their feet as she looked over the walking corpse shambling out of the tree line.
I would be happy to. I trust Ayuan's father will alert me to any difficulties.